back for the morning.
There are four applications on the
whom I call the honorary,
General
the sheep acute, in the stormy weather of the past year. Chair, having started with the apology, I will ask Mandisa to Mr. Geller to do the presentation. I have brought along the representatives of the institutions themselves. While we will respond to most of the questions, these are specific issues that of a technical and specific nature, they will be able to assist in the response, and so that the discussion is as frank, as honest, and as complete as possible. With your permission, Chair. The other members that present will be members who are here to do the admin work for the department as well as in the discussion. So Mtombe deals with the coordination of the oversight on the institution, and the members from the minister. Thanks, Chair.
Thank you very much, DG. Before Mandisa,
just before Mandisa starts, I want to speak so that it's not part of the approval made. Our institutions have complied with their central requirements, and having worked with in this kind of environment, I would like to acknowledge that, because that is a start of good work. I think we have already had an engagement, and I think there's a couple scheduled for 3 weeks' time to deal with some of the strategic issues. Some of them will be raised in discussion, in the presentation. I think I thought it is necessary for me to think that, so that it becomes, if there are issues, they will be related to the challenges that organizations normally face. Thank you.
Thank you,
Madam.
Are you settled with the explanation given by the Department of not providing documents? Are you settled? I think so. Thank you, Mr. President. First of all, I want to thank you by raising this issue of not receiving documents. Because as I'm talking to you, I received it today. Based on only today, not even yesterday. So it is very, no, I never did that. Only this one. It is very difficult for us to pay this, because there was no failure to the document. There is no document that we received. Only this one.
Thank you very much. Continue.
Thank you, Chairperson, honorable members. Good morning. The first slide just actually covering the content of the presentation. We will be talking about the Council for Built Environment today, AGRIMA South Africa, the IDP, and the Construction Industry Development Board. And then we'll also touch on the way forward guided by the committee as well. These four entities, as they report to Public Works, the presentation will focus on their performance to date. and also issues related to audit findings. Honorable members, the four public entities reporting to Public Works were established to support government to deliver on their promised mandate and to ensure that the optimal service delivery in the country, and also as entities they are regulated by different legal precepts, as we will find out in the presentation as I move on. But as a department, we are, as a shareholder, we have to ensure that we monitor and evaluate the performance of the entities and to ensure that government's broader objectives are attained and the outcome-based approach as mapped out by government is attained. In terms of the Public Finance Management Act, as a department, we have a civic duty to ensure that the proper accountability, openness and transparency in public administration, and also through the outcome-based approach to ensure that there's value for money in the procurement of goods and services by the public entities. We know that one of our entities has various councils reporting to it, which would be the Council for Built Environment, and those councils we have to declare upfront that we're still in negotiation with them in terms of full compliance with the Public Finance Management Act. The IDT is listed as a Schedule 2 public entity, the CIDP is a Schedule 2A, and the CBE is a Schedule 2A as well. The AgriMod South Africa, I know members of the committee are familiar with the business case and the AgriMod bill. That process is being driven by the Office of the Deputy Minister, and also, as honorable members would remember, we are working hard to ensure that it is legally constituted as an entity itself once the process has run its course. We do have quarterly meetings with the public entities where they present to the minister their performance, financial management, and also the required support from the minister, as minister is a policy custodian. Chapter 3 and honorable members, starts with the CPE. The CPE and this professional council have set in concurrent mandates. And the CPE has to ensure that there are policy frameworks or guidelines in place applicable to the built environment profession. You would recall that under the CPE you have architects, engineers, quantity surveyors, etc., etc. To date, honorable members, the CBE has developed 11 policy frameworks for implementation and alignment to ensure alignment by the professional council to the policy mandate of the government. We have the identification of work policy. We have the recognition of prior learning, competency standards for registration, registration which is registration of built environment professionals and recognition of voluntary association. More often than not, we have discussed in the committee. Issue of registration is a very important issue that we as Public Works, we're monitoring it like hawk, because it does have an impact on how the country will ensure seamless delivery of its broader infrastructure program. And everything else related to these built environment professionals, I'm just explaining bullet number three, actually lies under the responsibility or under the custodianship of Public Works. The appeals and tribunals, policy, international agreements and accreditation of built environment professionals or programs. the appeals and tribunals is also an important sector chapter too, because of the tight regulations governing the built environment sector. Public Works through CBA to ensure that the council succeeds in ensuring that those appeals and tribunals and the international agreements and accreditation is actually happening. You would recall that, for example, with the Cuban program, if I were to talk about the accreditation, with the Cuban program, the Cuban professionals who've been importing to this country have had problems of signing our projects. So, amongst others, one specific region is how we rate our professionals in the country. They would be able to actually be part of all these projects that we bring them for in the country. But find that they can't sign off because of some accreditation challenges. Because South Africa is aligned to the Western model of the Washington Consensus. And the argument before, or rather for all these years, since 2004, is what have we done to ensure that we have an accreditation program that is responsive to the developmental state or the mandate of government. There are standing policy frameworks on standards generation body and recognition of new professions and categories are under review. The greenhouse gas mitigation study, which is aligned to the long-term mitigation strategy approved by cabinet, and the requisite Kyoto protocol obligations will be attended to also by Public Works. The issue of greenhouse gas mitigation is also an important matter that we might have to probably discuss it at some point, linked to the green framework that department is also dealing with, assisted by the DIDP. On international accords and agreements, we have an agreement with the Republic of Uganda, and these agreements are guided by the international relations framework of the country. We're also talking to Zambia to ensure that there is a process in place towards mutual recognition of professions and qualifications. These agreements, honorable members, will be used to crystallize the same process in reinforcing national interest onwards and congruence, obviously, with the Republic's international framework and doctrine, with particular focus, obviously, on the African continent. I don't want to boast chairperson, but I just want to remind the honorable member that Public Works has assisted to deliver chantaries, has assisted their group to deliver chantaries in Congo, Lesotho, and Nigeria. So that alignment, at least behind the scenes, is an ongoing issue where we have supported DECO to deliver those embassies, including the one that we did years ago in Germany. And I'm told that's one of the most beautiful embassies, honorable members. Honorable members and chairperson, partnership. The Department of Labor, working with Public Works, has actually, we've been involved with the Department of Labor to ensure that the health and safety accord in construction was receiving the attention that it deserves. And we've roped in Kosatu, Sebusa, and Natu, and that was done last year, Chairperson, if I recall very well. The issue of the health and safety report of CBE will be used, honorable member, to strengthen our contracting arrangement. There's also the skills audit. Yes, Chairperson, we were invited by the Department of Labor, and as far as I can recall, it was last year we had signed that. there was prayer now. Okay, the field audit 2008. Trying to get myself now. Okay. And as citizens and honorable members, we do have the CPE has established a salary scheme. I know that maybe the number of graduates, if you say that that's 8, would look very small. But I would like to sensitize the committee on the fact that the delivery chain in the built environment is something that the various ministers responsible for education in the country are focusing on. Delivery, the number of graduates is, by that I mean the number of graduates will be informed by the throughput from the school system, the number of science and math graduates from high school, and those who pursue built environment qualifications at tertiary level. The CPE has also worked on the establishment of a structured quality assurance transparent candidacy program and workplace training for candidates that will ultimately lead to acceleration of professional registration. There's also cooperation discussions with CETA for quality assurance programs, mentors, and workplace training. There are currently interventions in UK that end reopening of QS and construction management academic program and landscape architecture at Durban University of Technology. Chatterton, maybe just quickly to explain also some of the things that public works have done with these entities over there. I recall an incident whereby I met with the University of Cape Town. And I was trying to find out where are the black engineers and all of these built environment professionals. The professors there told me at that time that I was not a scientist, I was just an official. In actual fact, in their construction engineering program, there were a few South Africans who had registered. Most of the students there were actually students from across Africa and from the Western country. So I think that intervention, we pay more attention to it to make sure that we don't just come and explain here that there are challenges of throughput from high school, and but we ensure that we also attend to those issues of what is attracting our young people to these programs and what is not attracting them, and we deal with those issues and ensure that there's sufficient capacity in the built environment for the country. There's partnership also with MISA, the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, for technical skills development initiatives in municipalities. Progress made on the skills plan input for the presidential infrastructure projects. With contract condition to support skills development. Key challenges, transformation, skills development, delivery constraints. If you look on the left chapter in the issue of delivery constraints as well and skills development, in actual fact, the three are actually well mapped out in the 15-year review of the country's performance, that report. I know that the country now is working on the 20-year review, but some of these challenges have always been identified. And I think it's important that we just have quite focused interventions going forward. There is a chapter in slow pace of transformation in the built environment sector. And the poor representation of women and black people. And like I said before, the throughput, poor math and science literacy, and also registration bottlenecks within the profession. On delivery constraints, the mandates of CPE and professional councils were never fully costed. Funding and human resource capacity constraints at professional council level and funding constraints for the bursary scheme. Chairperson, you may know that, and honorable members, that there's been also some budget cuts from bursary. In the presence at least of the DG, when we present our first quarterly report, you may want to disclose that, for example, from our own budget, Treasury has taken away 1 billion for the next 3 years, starting next financial year with 320 billion savings. So there is pressure on the fiscal, and which is related to the economic situation globally. Third thing, I'm going to focus now on the issues highlighted by the auditors. summarize findings. I'm going to focus on the column on summarized findings. The corresponding figures for 31 March 2011 have been restated as a result of an error discovered during 2012 in the financial statements for the CPE and for the year ending in March 2011. What is the status to date? That has been corrected, and the AFS amended accordingly, and also produced on a quarterly basis. Second finding, the account authority did not submit the proposed strategic plan to the executive authority for approval at least 6 months before the start of the financial year of the designated department, which is in contravention with the requirements of TR 30.1.1 and 30.1.2. That would have been addressed partially, Chairperson. August 2012 submission not achieved, and the matter has been shared with the AG. January submission of the annual performance plan and strategic plan, and done. On the third finding of the financial statements submitted for auditing were not prepared in accordance with the prescribed financial reporting framework as required by the relevant section. That has been partially achieved, and the annual financial statements amended accordingly and produced on a quarterly basis. When it comes to procurement, which is the first and audit findings, contracts were awarded to bidders who did not submit a declaration on whether they are employed by the state or connected to any person employed by the state, which is a requirement of the relevant treasury regulations, as we said there. That has been attended to, and all suppliers required to produce the relevant document, SBD 4 and 9, prior to being appointed. Oh, okay. Bidding. Yes, document. When it comes to the issues of procurement, probably may be helpful to have a focused discussion on this, because some of the things that we find that small things like people not submitting tax certificates and if you do not honor those things as a department, the AG will not be your friend or your enemy, but will just pronounce on it. I know that in your interaction with some of these contractors, maybe at times they don't disclose fully some of the case mistakes that they actually do to assist themselves and assist us to support them to be successful in what they do. Expenditure management, the accounting authority did not take effective steps to prevent irregular expenditure and fruitless and wasteful expenditure, as required by the relevant section of the PMA. That has been attended to. Control measures in place to monitor non-compliance and bring relevant officials to book. On asset management and liability, bank reconciliation, part of the finding, were not performed on a weekly basis as required by Treasury regulation. That has been attended to, and the reconciliations are performed weekly in line with the regulation. Governance and financial review. All members of the council appointed accordingly, and also dealing with challenges within governance matters with the board of the council is being attended to, and there is a focused intervention driven by the minister and the deputy minister to attend to those issues. Chairperson, if you look at the budget, I'm going to focus on the actual expenditure as of 31st December 2012 on administration. It is indicated that the CPE was at 11,384,000. The build expenditure on the Built Environment Academy was 1,088,000. On the Center for Innovation and Integrated Planning, that the expenditure was 5,253,000. On public interest, the expenditure was 1,279,000. we can discuss the budget, and if you look at the actual budget and the expenditure, we can discuss that chapter in terms of that, but be mindful that this is for the end of December 2012. Algemore, the business case continues. I know that you have heard the story before, but the Deputy Minister is focused on making sure that we work on that and conclude this process as a matter of urgency. I know that he has explained some of the reasons why there's been delays on concluding some of these policy issues. This is just on bullet number 2 to declare that their finances, like other entities, are audited, and they also received the clean audit report, which is something that I forgot to say earlier, that at least all our entities, chapter have received a clean audit report. Although some with matters of emphasis. But with Agrimore, there were no matters of emphasis. And the agency conducts its business according to policies, procedures, and governance processes of the CSIR. Now, for the benefit probably of those members, that the Agrimore is located in the CSIR. And the business case dealing with that is to make sure that it is legally reconstituted to become an independent entity, not subsumed under the CSIR, but as a standalone, governed by the PRMA. Maybe that has also probably also assisted with the CSIR relationship to ensure that the Agrimore, in terms of governance review, is performing well. I know that there's been questions raised by the committee before on the involvement of Agrimore South Africa in terms of human settlements and all of those issues, their role in, they've taken the lead, honorable members, in terms of the alternative technology that has been introduced in the country because they are there to issue, to certify non-standard products and to issue certificates for that. The IDT chairperson for a period under review has generated a turnover of 2.9 billion against a target of 4.7 billion. You would recall that the IDT is seen as an implementation arm of government for social infrastructure and works with the various government departments to do that. In relation to number one, it has delivered programs with a value of 4 billion against a target of 3.8 billion. And all that value or the money is money that government has transferred to the IDT to ensure that social infrastructure is delivered. 2.265 billion of the total expenditure was spent on BEE against a target of 50%. This improvement since the second quarter is significant and is largely attributed to the support given to service providers with obtaining their triple BEE certificate. That is a point probably that we can mull over in terms of that support so that it is recognized that the IDT is doing its best to ensure that the policy mandate of government in terms of black economic empowerment is realized. In terms of work opportunities, Chairperson, the IDT set itself a target of 24,000 and has delivered 567,000 more than the target. And in terms of work opportunities in the non-state sector, the target of 25,000 and the actual delivery is 39,839. There are obviously areas of concern that we would like to share with the committee. These are issues in terms of value of resources, mobilized, management fees. There seems to be reluctance from some government departments to pay the management fee that the IDT is requesting to be able to fulfill its mandate of being the implementation arm of government and also establishing a resource mobilization unit. On the issue of value flow of resources, the IDP set itself a target of 190 million and only achieved 26.3 million against that 190 million. The establishment of the resource and mobilization capacity is challenged, Chairperson, as there are issues of funding that is available to the IDT by Treasury. We can talk about that as well. What does that entail, the value of resources mobilized, so that we're at the same level of understanding when it comes to that issue. But briefly, most of you would know that the IDT, in its comparative advantage, is also to ensure that its social facilitation capacity and capability is enhanced and dispersed to support the developmental objectives of the state. If you look at the issue of management fees, as alluded to before, the IDT charges a management fee for the delivery of the program. About 3% were achieved against a target of 4.5% based on program expenditure. As alluded before, some clients are reluctant to pay the projected management fees, and clients here are government departments. Yes, they do, Chairperson. While the IDT does not have a legislated mandate on authority to insist on these fees, it is, but it's just an issue of making sure that it's regulated so that it's enforceable. Okay. Chairperson, what I'm trying to say is it needs to be regulated so that it can be enforced. That's probably what I wanted to say.
What does that mean if it is part of the contract? Because contract is binding in both parties. Can you unpack it so that we understand it?
Yeah. I think from my understanding, I think it applies to the end of the
relationship.
What is currently happening is the general standard. If you have a project, you have to use first management. Like to achieve open contract, but the reality is that at the point of signing contract and at the point of entering into the contract, some departments will insist on a lower percentage than they require. We will have discussions around that. Look at how, what are the contributors have and how they need to bring that along. But it's impossible in the sense to the extent that you've already signed the contract. But you, at the point where you're negotiating a contract, then you can be pushed down depending on the discussions and the sense of the department, client department, but the power has to be for the negotiating fee.
Yeah, Chairperson, I think we've raised this issue before. IDT charges management fees, okay, let's say 4.5%. Let's just agree on 4.5%. Now, does your management fees include the fees of the consultant you hire out of the department? That's where the problem is. You must remember that. You're charging management fees, but you also servicing consultants, especially in the building environment.
quality of air, so does that include or does it exclude? I wish it excludes. Can you just explain to us why the government want to pay more? Because those same consultants can then do the management fees. I think that's what we need to clear up. I didn't talk about that separately, and because at the end of the day, it's costing them more. So this can explain us. That's the reason they don't want to pay as well. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. Mine is only seeking for clarity from the director when he's saying that they actually agree on the end of contract, but the client is insisting on actually lowering so can you say that they have agreed before they sign the contract? Because if you sign the contract, it means that you have agreed. But why is it coming down? Or why is it not? Because of
thank you, Chairperson. Good morning, Honorable Member. I will start with the 4.5%. What is the rate to? That is the average fee that we have targeted ourselves for our sustainability. Honorable Member, we recall that with the financial challenges that we have had, the IDT's financial model started introducing the management fee. So when we talk about the 4.5%, the average amount that we would want to have recovered by the end of the financial year. But also just to go back a bit to say that when we started carrying management fee in 2006, and that varied from 1%, we started at a very low level, and we've been increasing it today. So what we are seeing is 4.5% is the increased management fee that we are envisaging we should be able to get from our clients. So if you look into our contracts, we find that our contracts, there is different levels of management fees that we have agreed with our clients. Some, they agree to pay 1%, others 2%, others 4%, others 5%, depending on the type of portfolio that we are implementing. Where there is more social facilitation and more input costs that we are incurring, we try to negotiate high. But the average that we are targeting is the 4.5%. Also, Honorable Member, it's important to bear in mind that this is a multi-year program. So by the time we started charging the management fee, already we had started lower management fee rates as we started in 2006 to cost the company. So that is the average amount that is being. So the DG is correct to say that it is really based on the negotiations that we have with our clients and the type of approach that we are implementing. For instance, the higher the project, the lower the management fee. And that is the norm in terms of how we are charging. But ultimately, as we collect it at the end of the financial year, we want to average it at 4.5. What we are presenting here is a common statement to say that we did not reach that 4.5 through the negotiations. And again, my colleague Mandisa is correct to say that there has been a high level of reluctance from our clients to pay the particular relation fee. I also want to come to Honorable Member to the issue of the consultant fee. I think Honorable Member is referring to the consultant fee of consultants, which is outside the 4.5 that we're talking. That is the consultant fee which goes up to 18%, and that becomes part of the delivery that comes to the portfolio. It does not include project management. That is really just a professional cost of the architect, of the engineer, which is gazetted, and you can't get out of that. Well, if you do social infrastructure, you would always require those fees to be paid. The 4.5, the management fee we're talking to, is actually what the IDT sells to our clients. And that is the management of the project overall, including the management of the consultants themselves, as well as the monitoring of the project and making sure that those projects are being rolled out timely as has been expected by the client. I'm not sure about that. I think this is not coming out of the question.
I understand where it comes from, and you are right. Government has got to pay management. But it must also not cost government too much to do the project. What you find out, for instance, 18% on consensus, you find that most of the money, we've been speaking about, goes to
professional is rather than going through the project. So I agree with you to say, in some instances, you charge 1% of management, because it's only management, you know. But it will say, on a project, it's 18 plus 4.5. You need to negotiate it, because most of the money must go to the project. That is what the government is there about. It's the money, it's services going down to the people. So that's what I'm, you know, you can at least not 4.5 on top of 18%, which gives you 2.5% on just on professional fees. It's a lot of money. Thank you.
I want to say what is preventing the diversion of this management fee so that it can be reinforced as the presenter was saying that the challenge is and secondly, I think ICT, when they were presenting their financial data on the challenges they are facing, they said this management fee going to help them because they also plant back to the community. But this one for the consultants, I think the 18% is the maximum. It's not that it's just 18%, it's negotiated depending on the type of a project that we are dealing with. I'm not sure if we can get the confirmation.
Thank you, Honorable
Minister.
If it is correct that the 80% is the maximum, that is prescribed. There was a period at IBC where every consultant was engaged in negotiating. Mm-hmm. And there was a court ruling to say that we are not, because that is a diversity, which really has made it extremely difficult to negotiate for the diversity that is there. In other words, the consultants themselves, they speak to the diversity when they see them. So I'm generally saying, why is it correct that we can negotiate? There is also a technical requirement that this is a thing that needs to be, And so I'm agreeing that we can negotiate, but it's extremely difficult. And as such, through that court order, we were in a way court of order, because it was seen that we were undercutting the consultants and therefore probably compromising the quality of the work that they need to put in the project. Because the role of the diversity fee is really the quality control of the building themselves, or whatever infrastructure we put in place. And therefore, we need an architect to do the work with the fee for the architect. The engineer to satisfy, there is a fee for that. Ultimately, terminating that 18%. It's not true 1%, but it is a different profession, the field of professionals that you would require in that.
Thank you, Mr. Speaker. I think we need to proceed with the investigation. And because this issue has been raised so many times, and we don't get to the station in the
what is preventing them to target? Because you said it is challenging. They said the challenge for them to be non-enforceable is because they're not targeted. What is the challenge? Is there any process in the testing or application to say that this thing must be targeted?
Thank you, Honorable Members. Let's correct you. We have started with a business case, which we did present to Honorable Members. Part of the recommendation in the business case is to regulate the recovery of the management fee. And that is the process that currently, together with the department, we are pursuing.
Yeah, no. I think it's unfair that we target IDT alone. CBE, you are in charge of consultants. Let's be real clear here. On a total of 5 million, 1.3 million goes to consultants. Are you regulating the fees for the consultants? And if you are, why are the fees so high? Because most of the money goes to consultants. That's our argument here.
Yeah.
The money, government money, public money is supposed to go to those people there, to the board of trustees. Most of the money goes to consultants. So I don't want us to target IDC only, but your consultants should be. Can you just clear us on the one?
Correct.
common council for their own individual acts. And these are the acts that were written by the Department of Culture. Within the act, there is a section that talks about professional fees and how those professional fees on a yearly basis get published and gathered. Now, this issue about the fees being too high, etc., is an issue that the Commission has also taken up with AFSA. Our role, according to our act, is sort of a very small and a compromised role, but that's a debate for another time.
Yeah, I think all of us should go, let us not continue with this issue. Let us get, let's say, IDT requested for a one day in that, to raise some of these issues. Did it? IDT TV, let's find a day, hour or two, to discuss this issue. We want to finish it now. Because tourist city, government is talking about consultants that are leaving the city.
Mm-hmm.
And really, even if they are professional fees, we need to discuss about the fee. How do we bring down this fee? Because out of how many million they get 1.5 million?
5 million.
5 million. Out of 5 million, they get 1.5 million. It's not on to one for it. We might not be professional. We are the ordinary women, but we are here concerned about the idea of construction. Can we put it on the mirror?
Okay.
For further discussion, let's get a day easy to discuss the issue. Thank you.
Thank you, person, but I'll also just add one issue to that raised, the issue of bid rigging. We have had a session, a good session with the Competition Commission. We discussed it, and we agreed that they will retrain our SEM staff on the science, at least, of picking up this bid rigging. So that we deal with the issues of the 2010 World Cup stadia that are out there in the media in terms of the escalation of costs. But that's adding that matter at Chaperson. The IDT Chaperson has had an unqualified report for the year under review. It's also paying attention to issues of performance information raised by the AG, compliance with laws and regulations, and financial reporting. This table, honorable members, speaks to the audit action plan. A total of 51 audit queries were raised, and majority of which related to program expenditure management, non-compliance, and governance issues. 100% of audit queries raised in 6 of the 11 categories are complete, and as at 31st December 2012, an average of 83% of the audit queries were addressed. During quarter 4, emphasis will be placed on addressing the outstanding issues and enhancing controls, especially on program management and non-compliance issues raised by the AG. In terms of the long-term sustainability of IDT, we have discussed this matter with the committee, and the minister has undertaken to resolve the short-term problem through a reallocation of DPW funds to the IDT. 50 million has been allocated, with a further 50 million provided for the, let me say, 2 out years. National Treasury is supporting public in the review of the IDT's business case. I know that honorable members, this matter has also been shared with you before, but it is receiving priority attention. And it is expected to be completed by the end of June 2013. Because the sustainability and the capability of the IDT to continue doing its work is reliant also on our financial support.
Is this is not
Yeah. The allocation comes, it's written in an allocation letter to us. So it's ring-fence for the IDP. So they have agreed. It's not money that we just took from our budget, but that will be in contravention. Treasury regulation, separation. As you know, honorable members, that business case will deal with the issues of the mandated funding of the IDP going forward. The Deputy Minister Chairperson, as alluded to before in previous meetings, and the Deputy Minister, our Deputy Minister and the Deputy Minister of Finance, they are working on this matter. The CIDB, the Construction Industry Development Board, the achievements will relate to the following. Amendments to the CIDB regulations with the registers of contractors were published for public comment. The CIDB hosted the Construction Industry Transformation Summit in November 2012. The CIDB standard for indirect targeting for enterprise development has been endorsed through a public comment process as well and will end submitted to the CIDB board in January 2013 for approval. The requirements for contractor performance report for grades 2 to 9 have been endorsed by stakeholders for gazetting for public comment. The MCDP and CDP guidelines were launched by the Minister in December 2012. Compliance with legislated turnaround time on processing compliance grade 2 to 9 is envisaged to be cleared in the end of the fourth quarter. All these findings by the AG the audit finding pertains to risk. The corresponding figures for 31st March were restated as a result of an erroneous disclosure of the provision for debt impairment amounting to 456,000 discovered during the 31st March 2012 audit in the financial statement. Progress to date, the reconciliations are done on a monthly basis and checked as well as reviewed by two independent persons to ensure completeness and accuracy. The persons responsible for the drafting of the financials are not receiving regular training on the draft changes as they are introduced. The financials will also be checked and reviewed by the same persons prior to submitting for audit. Irregular expenditure relating to determining of the full extent of irregularities amounting to 11.78 million, thus indicating an increase of 2.515 million when compared with that of the previous year. The supply chain management structure has since been enhanced with the following positions, a manager who started in November 2012, senior practitioner who started in March 2012, and practitioner, November 2012. Furthermore, the supply chain function has been fully centralized within SCM, which was not the case in 2011-2012. A checklist has been developed so as to verify that all processes have been complied with prior to award. This is checked by a senior practitioner. All irregular acquisitions have been submitted to Treasury to comply, and the board will be condoned. An SCM policy with the delegations there too, as well as the CIDP delegations, have been finalized and approved. SCM officials subjected to training and have also signed the code of conduct. And all employees in bid committees have undergone training as well. Item number three, performance indicators not well defined relating to the usefulness and reliability of the information in the APP. Or the annual performance plan. For 2012-13 financial year, the CIDP has engaged the assistance of an external independent review, which is a KPMG, to review the performance information and alignment between the strategic plan, the APP, and quarterly reports. The input received from the auditors has been used to finalize the strategic plan and APP for the fiscal year 2013-14. And to address the shortcomings identified by the agency. The way forward. Within the broader context of turnaround strategy as well as strengthening internal mechanism for oversight role over entities. The department, honorable members, will ensure that interventions on governance arrangements of CBE and their management of professional councils is intensified. Sustainability of IBT is a going concern through the development of the business case and relevant legislation is receiving urgent attention under the guidance of the two deputy ministers alluded to before. A special attention is also paid to international agreements under the auspices of the CPE to strengthen government and international relations, outlook, and attraction of skills. The policy question on the activation of CIDB's con register of built environment service provided is acknowledged that it needs to be revisited. The business case and legislation to establish AgriMod of Africa as a juristic person is also being analyzed. Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members.
My recording up there.
Oh,
okay. Because this is not picking up. I'm not on the computer. No.
Thank you, Chairperson. First of all, Chairperson, this report that just the same report that you received in portfolio complete. There's nothing that is new. But my concern, Chairperson, if they are still talking about the slide number six. The city Bazaar skin has produced its first eight graduates in diverse built environment. But there's nothing that they are telling us that there is some remedy or targeted to increase or to improve in this building environment. Because if they are still talking about eight, this is not the first time when they are talking about this eight graduates. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one. What I want to find out from them is there any mechanism that they have in place to increase this crisis? Because if you are talking about 8 that doesn't help us. And the other one, Chairperson, is the transformation. The transformation, Chairperson, is still, they're still saying the slow pace, but there's nothing that they are saying they are in place to address this low pace of transformation. Because transformation is a crisis in the country. And the other one, Chairperson, is that one on strategic planning and performance management. The accounting authority did not submit the proposed strategy plan to the executive authority for approval, at least my contention person is this low pace. They say partly achieved, and they are talking about something that was happening in August 2012. So if there is no achievement, what do they have in place now to achieve this? I think the last one is slide number 14. Slide number 14, chapter 10 is bullet number 2, under status of action plan. Majority of which related to program expenditure management, non-compliance with laws and regulation and governance issues. What I want to get from, what plan do they have to address this issue of malice inspection and non-compliance of laws? Do they have any planning? Thank you.
Honorable Madropa?
Chair, I want to direct a question to the department. There is an indication that the Auditor General's report for three entities has not complied with either the required Treasury regulation predetermined objectives for defining the performance indicators. One would like to know to say that what have the department and entities do to really deal with that particular matter. Secondly, Chair, on slide number 4, here there is an indication that I want to check how will the CPE health and safety report assist in the strengthening of the CPE contracting arrangement, because they said that their report will be used in strengthening the report. How? If they can unpack on that one. The other one, Chair, on the issue of the transformation by the CPE, how does CPE make a transformation in the built environment sector? And also, are there plans in place to address the registration bottleneck in the built environment professional? Because as the colleagues are indicating, that even all the presentation that we are getting as a portfolio committee is a bogginess. Do they have the plans? If they have the plans, are they really implementing those particular plans? If they are not, what are the challenges that make them not to implement those particular plans? On slide number 7, Honorable Chair, it's delivery constraints that the CPE professional councils were never fully quoted. We want to understand the reason for not, because if you come up with a plan, the plan must be fully costed. And what is the department or CPE doing to make sure that this challenge is really rectified or it's costed? Because if we have got a plan that is not costed, it's equal to nothing to us. And going to the issues highlighted by the auditors, it's slide number 8. I see the partially achieved and so on. When are they intending to fully achieve this one? Because it's a requirement that needs to be complied. They need to comply with it. It's a compliance matter. And also on program at number 4, Honorable Chair, there is an indication there to say that it's achieved. It's like 100% achieved. But bullet number 2, I don't understand it. If they say all suppliers requested to produce the relevant document, did they produce it? Because just requesting them to produce it, I don't think that you have met what is required by just requesting them, because there is no indication that they were requested and then they produced it. It's just that they were requested to produce it. But when it comes to achievement, it's like 100% it's achieved, although it's not clear whether they did produce the relevant document that were required. Maybe if we can unpack this one. On the issue of, on page 5, slide number 10, there is a draft agreement South Africa deal. Maybe if they can just brief and unpack how far it is, where is it now as we are talking, so that we can see whether there is a progress or no progress. at the moment I can post because my colleague Gil is next to me.
Honorable November.
Thank you, Chairperson, and good morning, everyone. Mine is very short, Chairperson. One has to thank the report, or the reports that are in front of us. But there's only two questions. The one the Honorable Tolle asked is about that about the graduates. One just would like to know, where are they? Are they still in the system? And if they are in the system, are they nurtured at a place, or are they just graduated and left them there? Is there anybody that is monitoring their going forward, and from which provinces they are? At least when we talk, we also want to say that we are winning. The little that we are getting, we are winning. Whether it's 8 or 2, but we are winning. But where? It's only that something that says eight graduates and nothing else. There is no explanation about it. The second one is on the way forward. My colleagues have said a lot about the other slides, but mine on the way forward, if we are seeing interventions on governance arrangements of CBE and blah, 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 standard, one just wants to know that I was just saying the things. Are the time frames about everything that you are saying so that we can monitor? I know there is a lot of work to do to say monitor quarterly, but can the committee get some reports? Our thing is that at least we do not always want to crush the department and the entities, but we also want to claim the victories, the steps that we have gone through. Not just say the thing that said well, the way forward is this, but what about the next step after the way forward? What is going to happen? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honorable Swati.
Thank you very much, Chairperson, and thank you very much for a good presentation. I think she was done. My first question is with regard to, I want just to add on the eight actually graduates. I just want to find out from the eight graduates if those graduates are actually coming from different fields in terms of the studies that they were actually they actually helped. And also I also want to know as to whether, because on this you emphasized mostly on the architectural and engineering side, so I just want to know as to whether landscaping and if landscaping and aviation professionals were also included in that, in those programs. And I'm also concerned that the aid actually for the financial year 2011-2012, actually I'm also questioning it, because I think there are so many people who actually are seeking for bursaries to actually to enter into the field of engineering. And we also need those engineers to help in the local government and also on the ground, because for us to get service delivery, engineering department is very important. So I just want to find out, is eight enough, or are you having an intention of actually broadening of actually including others in the next coming year? So, yeah, thank you. And with regard to the challenges you referred to on slide number 7, where you actually indicated that you've got some challenges, but I want to find out, because yeah, the mandate of CDE is that CDE and Professional Council were never fully costed. So I just want to know, if it is never costed, why was this actually being happened so that you can know exactly how much you need to help them? And on slide number 11, on the IDT, now you mentioned here that in terms of value resources, you in terms of mobilization, you managed to actually get 26.3 million against the target of 190 million. I just want to know why did you manage to get so little money? It was 190 million when you take out 26.3 million is really a very little money. So I just want to know exactly what happened in that regard. And the issue, the last one, is with regard to the findings from the Auditor General with regard to irregular expenditure of 11.781 million. I just want to know exactly what happened here, because sometimes if the money was not actually spent well, is that money going to be recovered, or what's going to happen? Are other people actually penalized for not for having actually done the irregular expenditure? Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honorable President. Mama Magala, you will be followed by Baba Magubane, and then Sister Doris, and then Baba Gila.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, I'm covered by my colleague on some of the questions, but I'm still not happy about the CBE, some key challenges that the Treasurer took back the 1 billion back, 1 billion rand back. Is it because of them failing to pursue the mandate of the professional council? Why did the Treasurer take back that 1 billion? If they can expand it on that. My second question is the question highlighted by Member Madopa that partially achieved. Is it because of the strategic planning and the performance management? Is it because of the accounting authority who did not submit the proposed strategic plan, or what? Why is it partly achieved? My last question is on the governance and financial review. I see that they only utilize 28% on built and environment academy. Now, is there any problem? Are they going to utilize everything 100% by end of this month? By March? Thanks, Chairperson.
Thank you, Mama Kuvan.
Thank you, Chairperson.
I think I've been covered by my colleagues here. But on the CBE issue bursary, I would want to make it quite clear that 8 graduates are not enough. We need to have more students in this category so that they can study and graduate on these things. Number 2, landscaping is another issue. Landscaping is very important, and you find that only the ones who are always doing this job, wherever it appears. And I think it's necessary that the universities all over South Africa should open classes for these children to learn this subject, because it's one of the important teachers here. Thank you.
Thank you, CDG. Delayed submission of documents. This information is on the CBE document on page 19. And members are repeating, if you had submitted this document, members won't be repeating the questions that they have submitted. Because on page 19, we talk about 48 students. CBE, you're talking about 48. That's what you should have indicated from the beginning. So the members should not waste time with asking this question to say you have got, out of those 8, there are additional 48 students, and most of them are from the previously disadvantaged communities. Baba Gaida? Oh, Mama Ngongwan.
I'm sorry. Okay. Thanks, sir. I will only ask about 4 questions, because most of the questions have been covered by my colleagues. The first one is about, actually, it's more of the information is that the slow pace of transformation. And my question is, what are we doing about it in CBE, in particular the representation of women and the black people in particular? I think maybe there's more explanation in the documents. I'm not sure, because I never went through it. And the registration bottleneck within the built environment profession. My point is, if CBE is not doing anything about it, or they're complaining, nothing's going to happen. And then we only talk about it, we don't have
deadlines, this is what we, or maybe if it comes to a push, they must come to us to say, we would like to have this policy so that we are able to maintain this. So if there's no policy, there's no deadlines, it's just, we'll keep on complaining and complaining. I mean, you can't be saying the same, one and the same thing 18 years down the line of democracy. My other question is around the IDT business case with National Treasury. How far is it? I would like to know. And lastly, is the probably IDT would like to I'm not too sure, maybe in their document whether they've given us the number of all the department that are reluctant to pay the so that we as a portfolio committee can meet the department and get the reason why they are not able to pay the what they are supposed to pay. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Mwani Ubaba Kaila.
Chairperson, on CBE, how long has the partnership existed with the Ministerial Infrastructure Support Agency, and how does the partnership with CBE contribute to technical skills development in municipalities, and how is it evaluated? And Chairperson, also we need a clarity on the presidential infrastructure project in terms of contact conditions to support skills development. Then lastly, Chairperson, I think that DG, on the aid professionals, although Umamo Kaltera has more or less given us the answer, but we're sitting with a critical shortage of skills, knowing very well that these professional councils on their own give bursaries out. And one would like to know in future, for not now, how many bursaries they have given out and how many skills, how many people that did graduate from those bursaries. But on your slide 7, Mamo Fajela, it is very clear to everybody where the problem is. Poor maths and science literacy. It is very clear, in fact, you are right. But now, this has been said the previous year and the year before. The problem is, how do we address this issue? How do we address it? I think we've made some suggestions before the committee that whether it's at DD level or at political level, the DD of this department needs to sit with the DD of education so that it can be resolved. But not only that, if you remember very well, we recommended to CBE and those professional councils to visit some of the poorer schools because that innovates those kids. I don't know whether that was done or not, but that will help those kids so that some of them don't even have career guidance papers. You remember, we spoke about this here. Now, one would like to hear from ever visit the poorest. We're talking of the poorest of the poor, Limpopo, Mpumalanga, those schools, so that some of them don't even know there's a career that is called engineering or architect or landscaping or so and so. That would also change the mindset. You know, just to see, to hear that there's this career, to do this, you can get this. This is a direction trade, because most of our kids want to be class teachers and all that because they don't know any other careers. So one would like to get a feedback from them. Did they do that? I remember we spoke to the Architect Association and they promised us they would do that. If they didn't, why was it not done? When can it be done? And then also at DG level or at minister level, they need to sit down and come up with a solution about this poor maths and science, because to be an engineer or quantity of years, you need maths and science. We need to address this here, and I think the command is got to just put it bluntly, this is where the problem is. We can talk and talk, but if this problem is not addressed, we are wasting our time. Thank you.
Thank you, Mama Gubane, Baba Gaila. Just Kenny, I'll again go for
IDG. I want you to understand that I'm not targeting IDG. Yesterday I phoned Mr. Mamabolo in our province. I always interact with IDG in our province, and he was in Pretoria yesterday. And then I wanted to check if there's any movement in the province when it comes to delivery, and he spoke about the toilet. So that's why I've got special interest in the IDG, because we are a delivery arm of government. My question is, IDT is a Schedule 2 entity. And prior to the questions that I asked on the money that is allocated to IDT, is the Department of Public Works not contravening PFMA regulations by giving IDT those funds, meanwhile the Schedule 2. And Schedule 2 is expected to generate its own funds. To say, what stops, you know, what stops the discussions between IDT, Public Works, and Treasury for IDT to become an entity that will look like CIDB, that will look like CBE, entities that get money from the department. Because I don't understand DG, but why that discussion has come to a stop. You remember IDT requested the portfolio committee to assist so that you become what you wanted to be, so that you should not get funds through backdoor. You should not get funds through negotiations. It must be a standing order for the EIDT gets funds from department. Because my understanding is that the 50 million that we are getting, the 50.850, we are contravening, truly speaking, let us be honest. I'm not a legal guru, but legally I think you are contravening treasury regulations. Even though it's treasury, they are doing this thing, but what stops treasury for doing the correct thing when it comes to IDT? Why are you hanging them? Why don't you deal the problem that is there, that they can get funds properly? It's my little understanding. Okay, there's something that I can't take out. There's something that I can't touch and feel. There's something that is happening that is not on. Can we get clarity? So can be if you have got an answer. If you don't have an answer, just mind this. What's happening between you, Treasury, and IDT? If Treasury is the one that is blocking the intellect, what must not reach the end, what is it? Can I be terrified on that one? Thank you very much, Mandisa. Did you?
You seem to be asking a question based on something you know.
No.
I don't.
No. You know, it's because of what that IDT is doing.
Yeah.
And they are like letting or something put by the local. It's just IDT Vula Trust. Those were the were people who were dealing with infrastructure in South Africa. No, in Vula Trust, you know Vula Trust do, especially in our toilets. We know the IDT specializes on schools, building of schools, and toilets also. So what's happening? Can you be honest to us, Kuti? Maybe treasury is a problem. And if treasury is a problem, tell us.
I think from at least the interactions I had with the party and to a large extent not much as yet with Treasury, because we needed to clear ourselves what we want to do as well as to look at the instruments we can use. I'm not sure you're asking whether they wanted to be a Schedule 3A type institution.
They wanted, I don't want to
If that is the question, I think in the discussion of the business case, we'll include the consideration of those issues. Chair, I think the stage at which the discussion on the business case has reached is fairly, we're reaching at the end, because it's now at the stage where the two deputy ministers have been asked to look at specific issues in order to ensure that they can then advise on what needs to be done, both our deputy minister and the minister in deputy minister in the treasury. So we anticipate that by the time we do the budgeting process, we should be clear about what are the recommendations that are coming out of that discussion.
But there's no sense of agency in this thing. Why is Department of Public Works treating this issue at a snail's pace? This matter, I will excuse the DG, because the DG is new in this thing at Public Works. He has been there, cannot clear us.
Yes, I think the answer to your question lies to Tembi. I think she will be able to answer this question.
Not labor. Who says Mandisa, can you please clear us? What is it that you're not dealing with the issue of IDT with sense of agency?
Thank you, Dr. Sin. I know that Sistembi has had a discussion recently with our deputy ministers on taking this matter forward as well, because, as you rightly said, it's been dragging for a while. In fact, we're discussing that also with the DG, that we need to finalize this thing, because we can't drag on any longer. But what I know is that, if I were to take you back last year, there was an issue of changing IDT to a shared trade. Then, that's what delayed the whole process. With Treasury seeing the IDT, also supporting that stance that IDT must be a Schedule 3, that actually also contributed to the delay of this. I know that maybe Susan, we can explain further in terms of the intimate discussions they've had with Treasury. But there are also, as you would recall, pros and cons of moving from Schedule 2 to become Schedule 3. And remember that the IDT is a delivery arm of the state, and it probably, if you change the schedule, assuming that the schedule changes, it will also have effect also on the speeding up delivery of infrastructure, because they'll have to comply now as a schedule three. So that was also a sticky point last year that I'm aware of, and also I think Treasury, one of the issues that they raised was the issue of the cost structure as well, that it needs to be attended to. But given the fact that our Deputy Minister and the Deputy Minister of Finance have been given this issue to actually attend to by the Minister, I think maybe can just update us on the recent meeting we had with the Deputy Minister. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson and honorable members. Yes, it's correct. We met with the Deputy Minister. This is a task team that the minister had put in place to fast track the process of the IDT funding in particular. Maybe just to go back a bit, honorable members, to say we classified the process of the business case into three phases. It was the short term, which immediately needed some bridging finance for the IDT to be able to continue. And then it was the medium term and the long term, which was really looking into the mandate of the IDT and the overall funding model of the IDT. At the moment, honorable members, the focus has been more on the short term, given the huge challenges that the IDT was financially being faced with, which has then resulted into the 50 million, 50 million, 50 million. That was supposed, therefore, to give space for the broad transformation or the if there is any change of mandate in terms of the operations of the IDT. So this was more like a bridging finance that would put in place. Let me just confirm, Honourable Members, that I think the pace has picked up within the department. The Deputy Minister is driving this process. We are expected soon, once the business case has been concluded, the department is working with Treasury in finalizing the business case, that a cap memo will be put forward, which will ultimately therefore pronounce the mandate of the IDT and the scheduling of the IDT. But it's also important to note that, unfortunately, those are pronouncements that are outside the authority or the delegation of the IDT, but it is not the executive authority and the court yourself. So it is very, the IDT cannot pronounce what we would want to be. I'm quite happy with the response Mandis given in terms of the implications, therefore, even of scheduling the IDT. And I think that is where the discussions are. Today, let us look into the pros and cons, but at the same time, from an IDT perspective, whether we are three or two, what is critical for us is the mandate of being a delivery agent of government, which we want to retain. So I think that's the position that the board and the IDT have taken to say the scheduling really for us is neither here nor there. But also to allay the fears, Chairperson, to say that there is a contravention in terms of the PFMA for the department to be able to directly fund the department, so that the IDT, and not necessarily, Chair, if you look into the target of the IDT, it clearly stipulates that when the IDT resources have been depleted, the shareholder, which in this instance is represented by the Department of Public Works, will be able to come in. So there is an aider that is sitting in a trust deed when that trust deed was reviewed in 1997. So from a legality point of view, to allay those fears, to say it is within those regulated frameworks. Without repeating much in terms of where the process is, I'm very confident, Honourable Members, that very soon the process will be tabled to yourself, but there's also the legislation component. Within the previous year, we lost time, the registration for the IDT to be legislated, and we could not get into that. I don't have that assist in updating where we are.
The time is still on that one. You remember on the 20th of March last year, you indicated that IDT has lost 46 people because of the rumor mongering that IDT is collapsing. Is this slow pace not affecting IDT? Are there no resignations? Because you had direct and indirect employees to say, are they still in your payroll? Because if resignations will be continued, delivery of services won't be there. Because our hope is in the IDT, in building schools and other infrastructure. Can you just clarify us?
Chairperson, you
are... No, I'm just worried about this very soon. Oh, it's in the pipeline. How long is the pipe?
15 minutes.
Thank you, Chairperson. I think, Chair, your last question is very precise. And as we've been engaging with the DG, we still want to sit with the DG and take him through so that we can try and fast track. And the frustration that is indicated by Honourable Members is really the frustration that the organization is currently battling with. We are losing people. Honourable Members who are unable to fill vacancies because we need to be able to conclude that. Some of the issues that I will be responding to in terms of audit queries, in terms of the risk profile of the IDT, which is in our quarterly report, indicates the fact that sometimes it's just extra hands that are required to be able to follow up on that. But if you look into the demand in terms of the portfolio of the IDT, as you can see, there is huge demand. That demand requires capacity, which we are unable to build that capacity. So to some extent, you then see the risk profile going up. You see more audit queries, more housekeeping matters, because it's just a question of the detail being followed up. So, Chairperson, I can't agree with you to say that it does have an effect, but the DG has given us assurance that this is one of his priorities that he will be driving. And I just feel say that we do give the DG that opportunity. So soon is according to DG, end of financial year, there has to be something that has happened, which is end of March.
Just Candy, last day you had about 27 clients and 94 projects. How far are those projects? Because if those 94 projects were completed, we wouldn't be talking about math schools, a lot of math schools in the Western, in the Eastern Cape. What's happening? Are those clients still standing? Are the 94 projects completed? What is happening? Because last year, March, you said this 94 project will be completed. And that's when you indicated that you have got 27 clients.
I must say that in terms of our target on implementation, we completed and even got new clients, which we also completed. And if you look at our targets, we even spent more than what we targeted. So as far as performance is concerned, Chairperson, I think it's just a stretch with our people. Hence, you see the higher number of housekeeping matters because the detail is somehow compromised. While Chairperson was doing our utmost best to make sure that we bridge that gap. For instance, this financial year, we have appointed performance information officers to assist our technicians and our engineers with pulling the performance information so that we can minimize the level of risk and some of the audit queries that have come up. There are quite a number of other initiatives that we put in place, Chair, but the fact remains our people are highly stretched, but we cannot build the capacity.
Yes. No, Honorable Chair, as you are saying, we appreciate the work that is really IBT is doing. But I want to check from the department how far with this thing of reclaiming of the mandate, maybe whether it has started. Because our concern as a portfolio committee is the fact that the budget still lies in the client department. But if it is with the Department of Public Works, it will be easier to fast track, as the minister started, to say that certain amounts must go to IDT. So that this issue of mud schools that is glaring, you know, even in the media to say it's a complaint, maybe it will be fast track. I don't know, I'm told about DBSA. Maybe if we reclaim the department, the reclaimed mandate, we'll be in a position to be in control of the social infrastructure and the budget thereof. Maybe something that will continue.
In line to what my partner in crime is saying, if you remember very well, Chairperson, at the committee last year, members of the committee, we were worried about DBSA doing schools and also the fact that those schools were paired together so that they given to the company. May I report, say to you now today that those companies, the so established companies, haven't completed those schools, and those schools are taken back by the department. But the smaller companies, we always undermine, completed in time. But remember the answer that the basic Minister of Education gave me in Parliament when I asked that question. And those contracts now are going for retender. Now, what that means then, Sustainby, is that they are going to come back to you to do the school. So that's why I'm asking DT, how long is that time? Because when basic education needs IDT, they must be there, they must be ready. So the sooner this is done, the better it is. Thank you.
Our submissions would deal with the MDF requirements, etc. At least some of the critical issues that affect IDT that relate to that are resolved. Simply because if you fail to deal with them now, that means you have lost another year in the process. So, certainly. Chair, I can only commit to dealing with the issue that IDT has put before us. Let me do that. Because the rest will be informed about the solution we find in the process.
Be very when it comes to schools and toilets because of this delivery or this problem. Can we? I don't know how are you going to do it. I don't know how are you going to do it. Can you, together with Treasury and IDT, make sure that EIDT starts building schools and toilets? How are you going to do it? The rest will follow with your technicalities. How are you going to deal with technicalities? Because you are employed for dealing with technicalities. See, now we just want to see delivery, honorable members. We are now nearing winter. Abantwana. Last week there was an article in the paper that around Joburg, around East Rand, I can't demarcate a housing. There are kids that are leaving themselves behind the bed here, where Mama Winnie stepped in. Can we not longer see that next year? Can we make a commitment, Huti? You will sort out of technology countries, but allow IDT to employ more staff. AG, obviously, you're not hearing that. To employ more staff so that they start delivering, because it's about delivery. We cannot allow, you know, for 20 years, our kids still relieving themselves behind classrooms. No, we can't allow that. Abantwana, squatting. Squatting, Abantwana. Can you just imagine? Squatting on top of another heap. There are so many heaps. I just imagine the heaps that are there. And the tissue that is flying. I'm a tissue. Just imagine I'm a tissue and the heaps and the water there, everything. We can't allow that disease. Can it be sorted out? Well,
Kayla,
can we allow them to respond?
In line with that, the amendments to regulations of CIDP, they were very good regulations, but when are they being implemented? Because that goes in line with it. Those contractors need those grades. When is that being implemented?
In line with what you have said, Honorable.
All right, Lala, you'll forget to forgive, but you just want to push into IDT. You must get out a complete way. Yes?
Yes. No, I think that's why I asked the issue of reclaiming the mandate, because the Department of Education sits with the budget, and the Department of Public Works must account to us. I think what you are saying, Honorable Chair, the Department and the Department of Basic Education, the Department of Education, together with the Treasury, I think it must come together as a matter of patience and deal with this, because we throw the stones at you, but the budget in the other department. So this is the challenge we are facing.
Gigi and this man, if I can respond to all those questions.
Allow the presenter to quickly deal with some of the things. You just indicate the ones that can be responded by CBE. Okay, thanks.
No, Mr. President, on the issue of the reclaim of the mandate, there is a issue. Public Works has been, okay. Last year, I met with the DG of Basic Education. We were mandated by the minister to go and meet with him and agree that the IT team will be brought in to accelerate the delivery of schools. There were glitches that needed the political principle to meet and resolve, but to date, I know that the IDT has been mandated through the PICC to work with Basic Education to deliver the school. So now it's not an issue of discussion; it's an issue of making sure that all the resources are in place for both departments to actually deliver on this school. Because if you recall, this was one of the apex priorities that was identified by government years ago. The eradication of these smartphones. So just to give comfort to that honorable member, that matter is at least has been agreed on. Now owners is on us to deliver the school. On the issue of treasury, also just to add to this reclaim of the mandate further.
we have spoken with Treasury, we had meeting with Treasury, and we explained to them that it is not right for them to allocate budgets to government departments without, as the provider of accommodation and as the custodian of the armor. But the allocation by Treasury must comply with that legislation, just equally as we have to comply with the PFMA. The issue of user asset management plan is provided for in India. It does not help when a department goes to Treasury and says, I need 100 million. And Treasury gives this department, and then up public works now the department to deliver, and public works says, no, but we didn't know Treasury was going to give you 100 million. So we don't have the resources to deliver what you've been given. At the end of the day, when departments also come to Parliament, they say public works did not spend the money. If you recall, in the previous budget vote, if I'm not mistaken, or the other one, there was an allocation for Home Affairs of 110 million. And this money was a reference for Home Affairs for the border post. The question was, we thought this, although we've been engaging with Treasury, for example, through the MTF process, we were not aware that they were going to give 110 million to Home Affairs. It came in the allocation letter, and the question was, who's going to spend this money? Because in terms of our planning process, if it's maintenance, we have to plan 1 year in advance. If it's capital projects or construction, then it has to be 2 years plus in advance. We start doing planning because it gets a bit delayed also with site clearance. So we, at least from, we have written agreement that Treasury must pay attention to the significance of user asset management plans, and that those user asset management plans are agreed. They are submitted to Treasury also with the agreement of public works. Because if you continue budget allocation along this trajectory, you are not going to be able to spend the monies that are given to public works to spend, because they come at the end of the... Yeah, so I just thought that, let me explain that quickly, Chairperson, with your indulgence. The other one, Honourable Member, the 1 billion was not an explanation, it's not a CPE allocation. I was illustrating that the issue of the 50 million that the government is cutting down, obviously you've listened to the Minister of Finance, the allocation, and I was just illustrating that because of fiscal constraints. For example, public works budget has been reduced by 1 billion, but we'll come and account to you on the impact of that going forward. It's a certain illustration, but it's not attributed to the CPE. Yeah.
Maybe just to finish, Honourable Members, because I had started, the slide 11, where the Honourable Member was asking about the variance on the resources mobilised. We are acknowledging the variance is very huge. We are now looking into the assumptions that we had put in place, because there were a few assumptions. One was engagement with the mining houses, which wanted us to assist them, particularly with social facilitation, the human settlement of some of the people in the areas that they had occupied. But with the crisis within the mining houses, some of those projects could not go forward, and we could not recognize that. For instance, with Nonmin, we had a partnership with Nonmin to be able to assist them with their community engagement. And where the Marikana issue broke up, that came to a standstill. So we are acknowledging that variance. Even the DG has engaged us on that, and we are re-looking into the assumptions that we had utilized. Let me also mention that we were also assuming that we have established the resource mobilization unit, a unit that would enable us to put the proposal to follow up on that, because it's almost like a new unit that we wanted to put in place to complement our financial challenges that we had on that. The second one was the slide number 14 on the issue of audit queries. Again, Honourable Members, I want to acknowledge that we saw a huge increase in terms of our audit queries. But although if you look at it, it's really housekeeping and detail of that. What we have done, we've appointed information management officers in each of the regions just to assist our technicians to gather the information so that we can be able to reduce that level. Once more, chair, if you look into our quarterly report, we have detailed all the risks that we had identified and the mitigation strategies for that risk, of which this is one of those issues. I also want to draw the attention of honorable members on the growth of the portfolio, for instance, in KZN, because most of those queries came from KZN. KZN at the moment is about 45% of our overall expenditure. It has grown, but it is still the same number of staff that we are utilizing. So you find that there are a number of issues that just fall through the cracks, and we are trying to resolve that and to also build the capacity in KZN. Unfortunately, although the portfolio is high, that is one problem that we are struggling with in terms of our management fee. They don't want to budge with the management fee, but we've got a very high end over there. Now, the question that you have is, do you then abandon and not take the portfolio, or you pursue with that shoestring? Hence, you see the number of issues that have come up. And then on the departments, the list of departments that are reluctant to pay the management fee, I'm sure, honorable members, we can't be able to give you a list of all those departments and also just update it to say where is it at this particular point in time. And that is information that could follow. Chairperson, I hope I've covered all the questions related to IDC. Thank you.
CIDB, Gabi. CIDB. Let's start with CIDB.
Okay. Honorable Chair and the members, I think there's two issues that I'll deal with. The first one is on the issue of on the amendment of the regulations. I'm happy to say that the regulations were submitted to the Minister, specifically the policy unit within the DPW and for review, and they have since been approved. We will be engaging with the board, I think, in the next week or two, and then we are scheduling for implementation of that in the new financial year. So that has been approved. And that relates to the issue of the regulations in dealing with the registration of contractors, which will look at the creation of a better alignment between the registration of contractors within the construction industry that will then deal with the state of development of the emerging sector in the construction industry. And then the second one, I think, was coming from Honorable Swate regarding issues of irregular expenditure, the 11.7 million. This particular one, I think, in terms of our action plan, which is captured on the presentation, we basically mentioned there some of the interventions that we put in place to address the shortcomings within the supply chain management unit. I think of critical importance that I need to mention is around the fact that in the period 2011-12, the function of SCM was not centralized. It was done by units themselves. The only thing that was centralized was the issue of orders within corporate services. Now, that has since changed. We have put in place a turnaround strategy to address issues in SCM, put policies in place. We've also enhanced the structure within the SCM function. Now, the issues around the 11.7 million, I can safely say that none of the funds in this 11.7 million were lost. It's basically issues of an administrative nature that actually occurred there. I'll just mention a few where you have, for instance, almost like 4 million that was on appointments where tax clearances were not received or they had expired. There were clerical errors on bids that we had issued and tenders or appointments contracts where we had not followed proper procedures, for instance, where we were supposed to go for open tender, but instead we went for quotations, or in certain cases we went for less than 3 quotations, and us extending contracts beyond their expiry without receiving proper approvals, and issues where we had a 5-year lease that was not approved by the Treasury. So basically, the method that had been raised, with us addressing issues that were raised in the previous financial year, what we've done is issues that are in the report for irregular expenditure, we have submitted both to the board in terms of the delegation as well as to National Treasury for condonement. And so that's basically receiving attention, and we are confident with the
internal controls that we put in place that we are addressing, and we continue to then address the issues that are raised, that were raised in previous year audits. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I group the issues because there's a lot of similarities with regards to the issues that were raised. I'll group them under sort of three categories, starting with the audit issues, and then talking about the funding issues, and then talking about transformation issues, including bursaries, career awareness, et cetera, et cetera. Maybe to just start with the audit issues, it pertains to the partly achieved, the yellow on slide number 8, to say when are those things going to be fully achieved and corrected. The two issues that I mentioned there is the submission of the strategic plan of the CBE to the Department of Public Works. The August date was not met, but the date of the 31st of January 2013 was met, and that is the submission of the final document. So that date was met, so the matter is corrected. The issue around the suppliers, there was a question from Honorable Matlopa about whether the suppliers are submitting the necessary documents. Yes, that we have a checklist, and everyone that we put through to the next stage in the SCM process has to submit these documents that the auditors picked up that they hadn't submitted in the previous year. So the matter has been corrected. With regard to funding, Manisa did clarify the issue of the 1 billion that is not applicable to CBE, but to the department. There was an issue around the costing of the mandates. The fact that the mandate of the 6 professional councils was not done. We have a situation whereby there are these acts that were done in 2000, in the year 2000. And with the acts comes all the responsibilities that the professional councils have to do. But the challenge is that the professional councils, all 6 of them are self-funding. They don't receive a cent from Treasury. So in terms of them executing their mandate, it is a big, big problem. We are currently doing an exercise to cost the mandate, and we should be finalizing that exercise by the beginning, the first quarter of this coming financial year. And then we'll take the matters from there. With regards to the CBE budget specifically, what we need to note, and it's there on our challenges, is that funding from Treasury that pertains to the bursary scheme has been curtailed. In fact, there is zero funding for the bursary scheme. Now, there was discussion about the 8 graduates, and to say that that is few, and we agree totally about the statement. The truth of the matter is that this bursary scheme started in 2009. The first graduate, the first batch, out of the total, there were originally 52 students on the scheme, but out of the original lot, we've had the first complete academic year and graduates only this past December, this past year, academic year. So the 8 relates to those that were part of the original 50. Now, when I came into CBE, there was actually talk about saying, let's close this bursary scheme because Treasury is not supporting us, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and we don't have the money. But then we said that rather than saying there's no money, let's close the bursary scheme, let's rather look at creative mechanisms to address the issue that the country is facing, the fuel shortage issue. And we propose instead a central battery scheme. And by a central battery scheme, we mean that what we want to see is that for the whole industry and for the whole country, we have a battery scheme whereby the private sector and the public sector, especially the infrastructure department, all pull resources into CDE, whereby not only will have 50 students on the battery scheme, but we'll have 5,000 students that are on the battery scheme, because we are talking about trillions for infrastructure rollout in the country. So the country that has got that money must be the country that is able to support the young people to study in the discipline. So we are upscaling, we've got a plan, and in our 1314 APP, when we're presenting, you'll see the plan that we have for the bursary scheme. But not only for the bursary scheme.
I'm not interested in other countries. I'm interested in South Africa. What are you doing for South African students? I hear about other countries, but Tinala, what's happening to our kids?
Yes, the centralized bursary scheme is for the country. We are going to look at the public sector. In fact, we started looking at the public sector, the infrastructure department, water affairs, public works themselves, human settlements, ESCOM, etc. What are their best schemes? Which students are they supporting? What are their best policies, etc., etc., etc.? We are also looking at the private sector. We've looked at who are the big spenders in education for the built environment profession. Where are they having the students, etc.? So we want to consolidate that and have a central place whereby every student that wants to study engineering or architecture or quantity surveying will know that we come to the central place and we'll get assistance. So it's for the country. Yes.
No, maybe we must be clarified here. Because what we want to understand whether you have something in place or still a thought to say, or like research, you have identified those public entities or departments and then the private one. Have you ever met with them? Is there any agreement that now this central point of bursary is going to work? Because you said they've identified those, but maybe CPE has identified, but those people, they don't know that they've been identified. They have never sit down. There is no agreement. Maybe if you can tell us that we have met with them, there is an agreement, this is what we will be doing. Because really, it's of our interest, this issue of our young people.
Yes, you more or less covered me. The six associations, do they also assist in this year? And then also DG, I think we've mentioned this for some time in the committee. There are a lot of private businesses who are doing business with public works. It's worth billions. What are they today? How do they plow back so that you can create these skills? And I think when the last time we spoke about this here, we even said that in some of the big contracts, there must be conditions that you plow back. There must be those conditions that you plow back because the country needs these skills. Can you come up with something innovative so that there is, you remember the prison number of Northern Cape, which was about 1.2 billion. Do you tell me those companies cannot plow back? And they got so much out of it. So it's something that CBE must work on, Chairperson. Thank you.
CBE, you remember last year, I don't know how to put in this question. On the landscape architectural professions. You said to us they are working in two different departments for reasons environmental affairs. And you said one of them is bigger, the other one is smaller. And you indicated that they are not interested in the smaller one. They are interested in the bigger department, which, to my understanding, was environmental affairs, if you remember. I don't know how to put this question, but you remember what you said. Are you still having that problem of professionals not wanting to get into, what was it? You remember? Come in.
I think if I'm right, the person, that there are some professionals who do not want to get into CBE. If you remember, there are some that are not registered within CBE. Is that the one you're talking about? Not only them, some engineers as well. We've got six professionals, but some professionals don't want to be under CBE. You were supposed to address it. How are you going to... Are you addressing it? How are you going to address it? I think that is...
Thank you, Abagiri.
Thank you, Chairperson. Maybe just to finalize on the bursary scheme, to say that we've done our part. We've spent the... That is the research part. We've sensitized the prospective partners. We've sat down to establish a working partnership with the department themselves. The department has got 400 students, for example, that are in the battery scheme. But then the issue is there is no support at the institution. So what departments and the industry, what they do is that they just write a check. And as CBE, one of the things that we're actively doing is to provide student support at the tertiary institution to make sure that the students get extra tutorials, they get mentors, they get exposed to the industry, et cetera, et cetera. So, so as to improve the throughput and their performance as well. So it's a step by step, but I will elaborate when we're doing our 13-14 presentation, Chairperson. With regards to landscape architects, I think that the challenge that we're facing there is that it's a small profession, and it's not it's only in the University of Cape Town, DUT, as well as Pretoria. It's not widely spread. We are looking at encouraging other universities to open the faculty. And the professional council itself, it's the smallest, it doesn't have money, and they've come to the department to ask for assistance from the department. With regards to professionals, Honorable Gayla, in terms of the professionals that are not under the CBE, it's not that they don't want to be under the CBE. It's just that the acts that govern those professionals are structured in such a way that they are not under the CBE. They're under the Department of Rural Development. And those professionals are the town planners and the land surveyors. There's a process to get them to be with the other built environment professionals. But it's a legal process that the department is handling from the department side. When it comes to the key issue of transformation, we're not just complaining that there is no transformation or slow pace of transformation within the industry. We've packaged interventions that look at the total value chain when it comes to built environment professions. As the presenter indicated that, to produce an engineer at the end of the day, you have to start from basic education level. what we've done at the schools level as CBE, now this is a specific project and it's now funded, etc., is that we've identified organizations that run math and science support programs. One of those organizations, for example, is an organization called Gutwano. If you read in the papers, this is the organization that works with township students, and it produced for the very first time in the country students that got 100% for math, got 100% for science in their paper, and these students were from township schools. So we're working with that organization and looking at broadening the base in terms of their targets.
Why specifically townships?
Because we're looking at disadvantaged areas. We are also looking at organizations that in the rural areas. For example, there's an organization called Dr. Med, which focuses in the Eastern Cape, in the rural Eastern Cape, math and science education in the Eastern Cape. So we've got various organizations that target rural areas, informal settlement schools, as well as the township schools, because we say that the other schools at least have good access to resources. So that is in terms of...
the problem is. That's what the problem is.
Yeah.
You look into schools that have got resources.
They have got no resources.
Oh, my apology.
Yes.
My apology.
Yeah. We look at underprivileged schools. Yes. And to encourage, you know, math and science in those schools. So, and in terms of career awareness as well, just in the past quarter, we managed to reach, if you read our quarterly report, we managed to reach 600 schools in the last quarter, because we went to Limpopo, and there was a question about, are we going to rural schools? We made it an effort that we're targeting rural areas in terms of career awareness and career education. And as I say, just in the past quarter, we managed to reach 600 schools. In terms of tertiary education, because you start from school level, then you go to adversity, and there was mention on things that we're doing with the academic institutions, supporting academic institutions. UKZN is one example that we've supported them in terms of reopening the faculty of quantity surveying and construction management. They had closed down those faculties and were not taking students, but through our intervention, they will, from next year, reopen those two faculties, and DUT landscape architecture the same. In terms of then the candidacy program, we do have a problem, honorable members, that when people graduate, as recent graduates, they have to go through workplace training before they can register as fully-fledged professionals. That is an area of a huge challenge, because candidates, they are called candidates, professionals, they complain that there is discrimination in the workplace. They get given meaningless work to do. They get sidelined, and yes, and collect laundry, etc. What we've done in that regard is that we are establishing a structured candidacy program which will be accredited, which will be quality assured, and which will be monitored. And we're doing this in partnership with the Department of Higher Education. We're doing it in partnership with the construction sector in terms of funding it. And I don't want to go into the details, but it will help us to monitor what happens in the workplace. Because we don't have, we just take what the supervisors say, this is your logbook. And sometimes they just fill the logbook, you know, one night and can see that the pen is actually the same. It was filled at the same time that the person has covered these areas. We're going to have structures to independently monitor what actually happens in the workplace. And I think that is going to assist us in terms of the throughput with regards to registration. When it, the
last area really very involved in related to the technical skills for the public sector, the effort that we're doing in the public work itself in terms of the people who have checked.
Use them. Oh, sorry. Yeah. Oh, okay. The interventions that we having with the Department of Public Works in terms of attracting and retaining technical skills within the department itself, and specifically with the example mentioned here and the partnership with the Municipal Infrastructure Support Agency, we're looking at technical capacity at municipalities. Currently, we are doing an assessment of different municipalities, key metros in the country, and looking at what is it that they have in terms of technical capacity, what projects do they have, what do their IDPs say, what should they be having, how many engineers should they have in order for them to address service delivery, because, yes.
To issues that we remember on the 24th of April last year,
yes.
You said to us aggregation of courses from universities and technicons that are not recognized.
Yes.
I thought when answer a question of transformation is asked, you'll respond based on what that you had. We have got problem with universities and technicons that are not, and that there's no uniform of accreditation within council. Some are writing exams, some oral interviews, and also that CBEX seems to be a problem for them, especially as they do not have enforcement powers over six professional councils. And then you said, build environment professional bills to deal with issues. I thought, Mamangwe one, make a follow-up on that one.
Yes.
But I see your hand up. Because I thought you will, yes. when asking about transformation, you will respond based on the issues that you raised last year.
Thanks. I also had hopes that she would touch on those issues. That that's why I was saying, we can't continue complaining without any resolution to the complaints. At the same time, I would like to emphasize the point that with this structured candidates that has been developed, we need more information on that. We want to know where are these people based, where are they, and how. Because sometimes the departments have got a tendency of giving us telling us what we want to hear, and then only to find that is not applicable on the ground. And also, Chair, still on that, what is this CETA, Construction for Construction Education and Training Authority, doing to assist the in monitoring the programs at workplace? What is it doing if we are still going to get another unit to assist with this? Thanks.
And you also indicated that Engineering Council will sign MOU on the 4th of May 2012, and that architects, they did not commit themselves. We want to know whether architect has committed itself, whether the MOUs and indicated as indicated to the portfolio committee were signed on the 4th of May.
No, I wanted to get into that engineer one. And another one on the candidates. DG? The candidates. There's a problem with this entity of working in silos. IDT is doing most of the project. Now, it is for you to work with IDT so that those people are taken up. So that they don't make tea. Come up with a monitoring tool. Don't work in silos. Work with the other entity, which is IDT. Most of the projects are there.
Yes. Thanks, Chair. With regards to, let me take each of the issues, starting with accreditation of programs. That, Chair, we've done. We identified, I think there were 9 outstanding. We've got on our website now all the accredited programs, and there's quite a number of them. We've got also a list of all the accredited institutions. Just last week, Thursday, we were looking at 12 institutions that offer construction management throughout the country, because there were accreditation visits by the Council for Construction and Project Managers. And so we were looking at the status of construction management academic programs in universities of technology and in universities. And maybe we should submit such a report so that, you can be familiar with what are the issues. I just mentioned UKZN where, you know, they closed and we helped them reopen and DUT. But accreditation of programs is one of the key things that we are on top of, because quality of built environment professionals starts at the programs that are accredited. In terms of the MOU, Chair, all the councils have signed the MOUs. We had challenges, but we're happy to report that they all signed. Not only did they sign, we had a special meeting with the engineers to say how do we take forward the deliverables and which are transformation-related deliverables that are contained in the MOUs that we've signed with the different councils. So there is work in progress, Chair, but as I say, the issues of transformation, and it relates to the whole skills pipeline, to say from the school level up to registered professionals, what are the things that we're doing to support the sector. In terms of the structured candidacy program, we will provide more information on that. And the issue about the CETA is the construction industry training authority, as one of the members know. What they are doing is that they've got the money for training for the industry. That's where the construction industry pays them the levies. So training that happens in the workplace, they are going to, they've appointed ourselves as the partner body to ensure quality in the workplace, because of the problem that we're saying that in the workplace, people are not getting properly trained. So they are assisting us with the funding, and the funding comes from the industry, so that we can make sure that the workplace training is of quality.
Thank you.
Can I make a follow-up? Honorable members, you remember last year they spoke about registration challenges, that we have got 4 registration challenges. And also, honorable members raised the issue of professionals being a men's world. And I'm sorry to say this, I don't want to always to raise it, but I'll put it the way it was raised last year. To say it is a white man's world where there are a lot of old people who don't want to retire, who don't want to hand over. And if you look at your third quarter report on page 45, you stated people were above 57 who are to retire, but they don't want to retire. And what are you doing to dealing with that problem? Because I'm interested in that problem. To say you people who are representing us in the CBE, you don't want to call a spade a spade. If you want to say meat, you say mama. Instead of saying this is meat, you say mama if you're telling a crawling child. That's where the whole thing is, because you don't want to call a spade. But how do we unlock these registration challenges? How do we deal with it? Because there are kids who are littering our streets, engineers. And also right now, you said Eskom. You had a problem with Eskom. As if Eskom was stealing them, taking a lot of professionals. And now I'm told Eskom is looking for people who can switch up electricity while it's on, not switched off. They will grab them, all of them. But if you imagine, you just go and fix electricity without switching off. They want those skills. They are special glasses that you put on, a special attire that you put on. And they will grab them, mean because you are not dealing with the problem. Tell us this registration problem, challenges, what you need, because that's what you raised there last year. And even in your third quarter report, those challenges, honorable members, they were still there, indicated in the third quarter report. Says Doris, and Ubaba Gayla, Ubaba Stole, Mama Job. Our kids are lingering.
Hence, I even mentioned the fact that if it comes to a push that they tell us as the Portfolio Committee to have some policies implemented, I mean, they need to do so. We know of the non-transformation in the professions. I mean, we have been having the professions that we are having 100% white for a very long time. For a very, very long time. And then after that, you see about 99.whatever% of still white professions. Really, it needs to happen. And that's why I mentioned the women and the youth in the transformation. It needs to happen. Whether it comes to a point that we do it. They must come to us and say, this is what needs to happen, so can you assist us on ABC and then we'll do 1, 2, 3. That's it.
Yeah. And what happened to the mentoring program here, DP, the Lupi, where you said you'll recruit all retired engineers to come and mentor the new ones? You also need to respond on that one. Baba Stol.
Thank you, Chair. My concern is that one of their proposal on central bazaar scheme. Do you have something, or just a proposal which have put no time frame?
The right data will be followed by Honorable Matropa.
Yeah, Chairperson, guys, you know, I thought when we first started, you said we're going to have a session with them that would deal with this issue, that that session, because there are quite a lot of issues that we need to deal with here. For instance, one of the issues that was raised was to produce an architect, if you remember, they said it takes 7 to 9 years.
Mm.
And they got to do something about that, if you remember. And then also the chairperson or the president of the architect association complained to us, you remember, and said that we have a problem with some of these associations and their members. And we don't have anything to buy FCPE.
Yes.
We have a major problem. We don't want to take this the candidacy. They don't. They just law unto themselves.
Mm-hmm.
So that was one of the issues. Then also, the engineers. As far as I'm concerned, you reported that you got two associations of engineers. One is under CBE, the other one is not. And also some of the skills, like a mechanical engineer who does air conditioning and all that, electrical engineer, there seems to be nothing. Those are the special skills, TG, whereby when you give contracts out for aircon, you'll only find that one company that will charge you whatever they want to charge you. Do you understand where we're going to? And there you have a body. You have a body that cannot even discipline those consultants. For instance, if you remember GT and your chairperson, when you were at Scopa, the issue of Limpopo, where the government was overcharged with VOs of over 200%. Now, the culprit there is the contractor. CITP is dealing with, but you cannot deal with your consultants. You cannot because you are powerless. Let us be very open and say the problem is that CDE is powerless. You cannot deal with the consultants. What are you doing so that you have the teeth to bite? What assistance do you want from us? Now, powerless. You are a useless body. Let us now be fair open. It's a powerless body that cannot discipline its own members. That's what CDE is, TG. Let's talk about it. I mean, they are powerless. Useless. Powerless.
I think my colleague has covered me because one was wanted to ask this question to say, as a stand city, do we have the capacity to really transform? Do we have the capacity? But also, Chair, I think I don't think we shall get the responses that we want because in 2011, I remember, they were saying that the issue of accreditation will be done in 2012. And we are not getting a report that is clear to say that all the challenges around the issue of registration bottleneck, this is what now we have done to try and move forward. Now, because we had a problem of cooperation, this is now we have done. Now the cooperation is there. We are not moving on the same page. Because really, it's of no use to us, Honorable Chair or DP, to have the institutions that will not have teeth to fight. We'll keep on coming here, sitting on the report, but nothing is moving. One will request, Honorable Chair, that maybe also on the issue that now they have started working with those organizations of math and science, maybe to understand who fund those organizations that are assisting in rural areas, and also to have a report at some stage indicating, because they are pointing at 600 schools that they are working with, maybe to know where are those schools. What are the names of those schools? Because we are playing our oversight role. We can't play an oversight role only on the number. We must know exactly what it is that we are going to check if we go to that particular school. Maybe it will assist us not just to deal with numbers, Honorable Chair, and to get all those reports. But as the Honorable colleague is saying, to say maybe your first proposal, Chair, to say that we must have a session. Because in this portfolio we can't, and also appeal to the CBE that when they come back, they look at what they told us. Yes, we are politicians, maybe, but we do read the documentation, despite the fact that we are politicians. And then also try to remember, when you are coming, we check, what did you say to us? Because really, we are serious about service delivery, and you know this unrest service delivery, it affects us as politicians. So that's why there is no way that we'll leave the stone unturned when it comes to the issue of service delivery. Thank you.
I think we need to close the issue of CBE with the understanding that we need a day in Daba. But, Didi, where's the Build Environment Professional Bill? Because that is the one that is going to deal with this problem. Didi, Sis Mandira,
The Built Environment Professional Bill, where is it? Because last year it was raised in the meeting. Could it, this is the bill that is going to deal with this problem. And they said it's in the pipeline. How long is the pipeline? We want to know. Because the pipeline is from here to Cairo. How far are we? This man is that's why. Before leaving, I want to close this meeting. But before we leaving, we want to know how far is this bill. Because they don't have teeth to bite. They don't have control over those professionals. And there are men there. Men. Men's wearers. Men's wearers. They don't want women there. Where is the bill? Does man decide the bill?
Chair, you will recall, Chair, both for the agreement and the Deputy Minister did indicate and explain to the committee the issues that needed to be considered. That bill is waiting already and it's being processed. Both of them, the agreement. He did indicate, for example, on the agreement.
Point of correction, sir. I think if my memory serves me well, it was agreement and the expropriated bill. We even the only two. There's nothing about CBE. I even asked the question about what about CBE because I've got a serious problem with the with CBE.
This man is on lodge UDG. This man is
Sorry, correct.
I have lodge UDG. The man is lodge.
Because I was preparing for the agreement one. So.
Just mind it, where is the bill?
Maybe what we need to do is just to submit to the committee the process that was met. But if you remember, Deputy Minister did concede in that corner room that has been delayed in dealing with this bill. But we'll do everything in our power to make sure that it is also processed as the elephant, the big elephant in the room. He was verbally explaining, obviously, when we were presenting. I hope we're presenting to you, not to another committee. He did concede that there are delays, but he's working on it hard. But what we can do, we need to submit to you that the map out process, so that you measure what you are doing against that. And I remember he even said the appropriation bill is the cabinet process. And then he explained why there has been delay to actually, maybe it was another meeting. But the appropriation bill is in the cabinet process.
Because if you remember, they will let us return to the portfolio committee. You remember? We let us return to the portfolio committee by students who were frustrated. If I don't, I remember there was a Kuse young lady who said, he has failed,
Eight times.
Who failed examinations 8 times? And we said, there's no way. And CBE indicated that that lady, that came up with technical engineering work, and then the processes that they were, would you say it's DG?
We'll find out. We'll follow it up, Chair, and provide you with it.
Thank you very much. We need transformation for CBE. You see, all women who are given ama responsibilities, you must make sure that your grave is not cursed by your grandchildren or by your children by not doing the correct thing, by not biting. Because you are given that responsibility as a mother. Because in my heart, that's what you must go and do. That's what you must go and represent women and their kids, Lapaya. You know what these men, they do? If it's their terrain, they don't want any interference. So you must go and but make noise so that they can hear. One of them will have sense to say what they are saying is the truth. Our children cannot be frustrated like that. On this note, honor members, are we not done? CIDB, they responded. They responded. On that note, agreement not here, but there's no problem with the agreement. Yeah. Where are they? Baba,
we are satisfied with your with serving us, serving the country. We see your innovative technology. We are satisfied with that, and you are building the country. Only the bill that will give you more power. That's my understanding. On that note, honorable members, DG and encourage our entities. Thank you very much. Issues that were raised here need to be pushed. We need a report, a return report, DG, to say how far are you with EMA issues that are IDD? How far are you with EMA issues that are CBE? We want quarterly report to see good improvement. Thank you very much for coming. Auditor General, thank you very much, Office of the Auditor. We have got a meeting from here. We are going to my office. Just you listen carefully, ne? And we are going to the office. Thank you very much. Enjoy your day and your lunch. Honourable members, Thursday, honourable members, those who are attending CBE conference, there's also a gala dinner on that particular day where the minister is going to sign a memorandum of understanding with Zambia. Eh? Is it Zambia? So, we'll get a briefing what time we must leave Parliament and all. Thank you very much.
Yes, that is why I wanted you to come. I'm saying, if you are not here yet, let me not address you. Let me go to the next thing. Then I'll address you.
Within the 227, isn't it? 227. 227, yeah. Even the grave. Yeah. Oh, okay, sorry. Oh, okay. What's the book?
And then I would also want to comment on the why it's not in my portfolio. I think we will also raise the discussion as the management team in terms of saying how many APPEs have been done so far. I think the response that we got was that there were, I think, 10 applications that were made, but there's only one that meets the criteria for a study. So they are considering only one deal so far. And then I think the one that was raised by Nambali, so in terms of which provinces and where, I think DG, we just have to provide the information in terms of where and what are those projects on. And then there was a comment by Umam Twala around Mr. C. Seizo in Tabankulu. I think DG, this we can also align with what Mr. Abrams was saying. We just need to send somebody to verify the information and make sure that we provide maybe a written report to the portfolio committee. And then I want to talk around the issue of Ginari at Josini. From our side, what we have done is that, remember the Ginari, that Makatini project was going to be liquidated, and then the department decided to save the project. And it was going, I think the liquidation for fees were around 8 million, if I'm not mistaken. And then we saved that particular Ginari. Now, what we committed ourselves as the Office of the CFO was that would do a physical verification of fixed assets that are there. Now, it would be very foolish from our side not to confess that the Ginari is in a bad state. I think it is in a bad state. When we went to do the physical verification in December last year, we found that there were things that were missing. But we did the physical verification. Fortunately, we also involved our security team from the department so that they could look at issue of fencing around that Ginari. Now, the other thing that we need to also take into consideration is that, as the chair was saying, if we were to take use the Ginari, I think the farmers around there would save a lot of money because they take their cotton and it's processed somewhere in Limpopo. Now, those transport costs, if you speak to those farmers, they are very clear to say that they are not sustainable. So the issue for us is that what we then decided is that there was an allocation of, I think, 20 million from the department to assist with the, I would use the name that is commonly used, revitalization of that particular genre. And I know that we have already, I think, already released 6 to 8 million towards that, and that is supported by a documentation of what they have done. Then there was a question or a comment from the chair around the budget of the department. I think lastly we had a quarterly review meeting as a department, and I presented the state of expenditure for the department. The one area, if I were to give you the breakdown, for the 2013-14 year, financial year, the cost of employees accounts for 26%. Okay? And then for goods and services, it's only 12%. Then you look at the transfers and subsidies that we make, they account for 60%. Now, if you take that picture, all those three on their own, they amount to 98%. If you take that picture and use a simplistic view, it says that the department only has a budget of 38%, if we use the simplistic view, because the other 60% goes to the province, which is the transfers and subsidies. Mainly, the 50% goes towards CAF, Lima, Litsima, and Lenke. So, what each DDG was asked to present last week is how are we going to assist in terms of service delivery. And I've spoken informally with my peers in terms of saying, whenever we determine that there's a strategy or a project that needs to be done, we need to then to be costed and properly costed, and we will need to go to the National Treasury and ask for more funds. Now, with the budget, we can have a budget of 6 million, but 6 million for a country of this size is our country, for agriculture, forest and fisheries, is nothing. I think one needs to admit, but the challenge that we are sending back to the portfolio committee is that while there are challenges that you are raising with us in terms of how we do things, but would also need your support in terms of when we request funds from National Treasury to say, here are the things, and as I am giving you the picture, the transfers and subsidies account for 60%, cost of employees 26%, goods and services 12%. Now, I think I've answered all the questions that related to finance. Thank you,
sir. My apologies. Sorry. The Honourable Chairperson, I'll deal with the investigations into the right holders violation. I'm assuming this one is the violations of the Act. I can say there was a backlog in trying to deal with all those who, say for instance, they were BE and then they dropped their BE status or they transferred their rights, they're fronting all kinds of difficult things that they do. Now, we have dealt with most of those backlogs from early 2012, and we do inform them, we write to them, inform them that your rights are going to be revoked. Some of them actually proceeded to revoke their rights, and with others, we say, sorry, we can't allow that kind of transfers of rights to take place. There are some very serious ones where we have got the NPA who's investigating there, because we've done our side of it now for the criminal investigations. But we can give you a detailed report, at least on those violations that we could deal with, which is within our area of work. But those that we had turned over for criminal investigations, we'll have to wait until the NPA is ready to charge those people, and then we can make a joint statement on that one. I think there's another question that's very similar to that one on corruption cases. Let me just see where I recorded that one. Oh, yeah. Excuse me. I think a request was, can't we get a progress report on the corruption cases? I'm not sure, Dave, if you're referring to the internal ones or the same external ones that we investigate, where there's again cases of fronting, where individuals who are more educated actually manipulate the poor, older people who don't have an education, can't properly understand what's really happening, so they get used and get paid peanuts by these intermediaries and these guys who use them. Once we find out, we do charge, we investigate properly and charge them, and there are some really serious cases that are sitting with the Hawks, the anti-corruption unit there. But we won't be able to give reports on those until they are ready to charge those individuals. Some have been charged, but I think we're still not in a safe position to expose it. But when we are, we'll definitely do that. Then, revitalizing the aquaculture fish farm, now being finalized. To my knowledge, all five of them are at various stages of revitalization or establishment. And the only time we can say that this fish farm, this aquaculture fish farm, is fully developed and we can take just a monitoring role is when we've helped them to secure export contracts and local contracts, let's say with the local supermarkets. But I think to be fair to the portfolio committee, I can put together a report up on each one of them and be able to tell you at what stage they are at. And then engaging with the fishing stakeholders, true, the majority of fishery stakeholders, whether it's the big commercial ones or the smaller subsistence ones, are mostly in the Western Cape. So we spend a lot of time in meetings with them, even over weekends. But we do have them in, the aquaculture, the inland aquaculture, we do have an Aquaculture Farmers Association, although to my knowledge it's a national body. That also involves the big commercial aquaculture farmers. But with the other stakeholders in the other provinces, there are definitely constant meetings we go out to in Port Nolloth, the Rissasalt municipality there. And in KwaZulu-Natal, the coastal communities, they are definitely covered by the Ezimvelo Wildlife, I think it's a public entity, but I'm not full name, I think it's an association, but it's a registered public entity. They do all our consultation for us, but we also go out there to those communities. Depending on what the issue is that we want to engage directly with them or they demand, we come out there and we go out there. But we also have our working for fisheries development workers and all our own kind of staff, we engage with them. Then we see the allocation of rights. We are hypersensitive to the fact that the last set of rights in 2005, 2006, and some just before that didn't prioritize the disadvantaged communities in terms of the small-scale fisheries, the subsistence ones, and even where people were given a right, even though they didn't have a boat, they didn't have a certain things to make them go and harvest the fish themselves, and they ended up selling their rights to the big commercial companies, which didn't help with transformation. So now with the small-scale fishing policy that was gazetted in June 2012, I'm running ahead of myself. We have looked at all the things, and that's a very radical policy. I don't know when last time the portfolio committee was briefed on that one, but it's very radical, it's very direct, and it took years to be gazetted because there was so much opposition to it. Those who didn't want to let go of the advantages they already had, and those who waited too many decades, more than, I don't know, 100 years for this advantage. So it's there now, it's gazetted, and we've now brought it into the Act, the amendment of the Marine Living Resources Act, but that's going to have to go through a process. So we've come to an agreement that that Act is being prioritized, those amendments are being prioritized in the department, so it can be ready long before December 2013 when we must start allocating those rights. So this is going to be a very hot year because we are going to be very brave and very brazen and allocate to the historically disadvantaged. And also we've got plans in place. How do we support them? How do we help them to become cooperatives? Communal property association, something similar to that. How do we help them get small, to get loans? We want to help them not to fail, because in the past they get these big rights, but they fail to be able to use it. And then what was the other one? The paper colors. No. We just had to make a decision there that we could not let this PWP project, which was a part of an aquaculture development project, stand still, even though there was money attached to it, there was a service provider, but the Department of Public Works was taking way too long to give us a state land, and they were having their own controversies about this piece of land, that piece of land. So we said, no, let's go to the municipality and say, give us your municipal land. So that is how we had to now use them. Otherwise, we would lose their money also. We'd have to surrender it back to National Treasury. Then the last one is the marine protected areas, which is declared by Department of Environmental Affairs, like the Prince Edward Island that you mentioned. There's very little we can do on that one, but we are discussing it amongst ourselves. We need to go and meet with them, because the problem is they have used some of the areas, fishing areas, which are your traditional fishing areas. Families for generations have fished there, and they've declared those marine protected areas. So that is one of the most sensitive and painful issues for us. So it's still an issue for discussion, if I can put it like that. Thanks.
Honorable Paliso.
I just want to make a follow-up on what Dr. DG has just said. As we are all aware, Department of Environmental Affairs is not very friendly to come to us as the portfolio, because we are forever asking the question, did you transfer the whole fisheries, especially the economic deliverables of the act, to DAF? And that question doesn't get clarity. It even doesn't get answered. There are a piece of Marine Coastal Management Act, a piece of it, that remained with Department of Environmental Affairs. And that piece that remained there is the deliverable of the historically disadvantaged fishing folk. That's why they've got this power of now they implement and approve certain deliverables for them as DEA and not in favor of the historical disadvantage. To our DDG, we really need a joint meeting with Department of Environmental Affairs. We need clarity when both departments are here. Did they transfer all deliverables officially? And they did not. The economic ones of our historically disadvantaged fishing folk did stay with them. Now there is a manipulation of how things are being implemented and how things are now being done to still keep away people to have access to their own natural resources. And we can't allow that in this democracy.
I'm not going to respond to this later.
Yeah, no, I'm recording it. What I will do is exactly what the other member is saying. Have a meeting with you, but before I do, I could just establish for my colleagues about these. I know the marine protected areas is a very difficult one for us, and this thing of pushing a nature conservation approach instead of pushing a food security approach, a big challenge for us, but I will have the meeting with them. But we may have to find them, maybe the two ministers also may have to meet, because they will defend themselves. I know it.
Thank you.
Thank you, Gigi, and thank you, Chairperson of the Portfolio Committee and honorable members. I suppose perhaps I'm talking so that at least you can hear who this person is, but without much waste of time, I'd like to request my colleague, Ms. Chipeta, who has been acting DG in this portfolio, to take the 8 or so questions that we have voted on forestry, and yes, thanks.
Ms. Chipeta, I don't know the acting DG. Now, our lunch was already at 1. Now, I stand to be advised here whether we finish all the questions, the answers, the responses, or we break for lunch, because at 2 we are expected to be back now.
Hello. I suggest that they'll respond when you are back. Thank you.
Honorable Banga.
Chair,
I'm very worried. I apologize. I told the chairperson why I had to leave, because I wanted to be part of the also Republican. I'm very worried about this issue of Prince Edward, the Prince Edward Island issue that has been raised. And I want us to make people very aware, in particular, not only Prince Edward, and also the Bird Island, because part of why I think the research book is raising is that Prince Edward and the Prince Island, you have species, marine species that are extinct there, like the penguins in the Bird Island, and then the seabirds in the Prince Edward, and all of them are in danger, and it is a conscious decision that that area be declared a special marine protected area, because for conserving those extinct marine species, and they're all of them, particularly the penguins in that area and the bird island, they are in danger. Therefore, I'm saying, I think the approach we should take, in which the research document is raising, it's about the patrolling vessels and the research vessels. With the problems we have in the country with these vessels, both that if we consider an option that the Department of Environment take over the services of research and patrolling that area, it limits, it assists DAF in particular, forestry and fisheries. Instead of bringing in another patrolling vessel, we have one that does research and also patrolling. Within the context of what the DDG is raising, yes, it's important, but we must understand the danger in which we put in our marine resources. We have to protect some of them. Whilst we want to commercialize some other aspects, but there are areas in which really for nature reasons. As a student in marine studies, I understand it. This, I've been there, I've seen the danger, we've been doing research in relation to that. Therefore, it's a conscious decision to protect the danger to penguins and the seabirds in that area, I think. With Kuka also being there, has always been a significant problem, but an arrangement was made to understand that both commercial issues and also the interest of marine species can live together, but in a manageable way. But we must be very careful to think that we'll just open up that area for fishing. It's very dangerous for us to do.
I think let's adjourn so that we come back on time to get further clarification. The lunch is served at the old dining hall, old assembly dining hall, and we should be back at 2. Thank you.
Hello. The meeting is there for you, the hearing?
No, here. But
why? What's looking for one now? What is the
agenda? Okay. Because she can't let by your own. And then, but I won't buy unless I have a family.
I'll send to the school
for
okay. I have read a letter. I'm going to pay for one. I'm going to pay for one. And this is a safe
house. Okay. No, because I didn't come and look at that.
No, no,
I'm not going to be strong. 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 I'm not going to be str
Toshiba laptop charger at Z227. And the guy is here, I have come and inquired about it. They said I must keep coming because it was not here when I came last week. So I'm here to just ask if it had been returned to this office or not.
A laptop charger?
Yeah, a laptop charger for Toshiba. But I can't remember the date of the meeting now.
Yeah,
but I know it was V227 human settlement, I think 2 weeks back.
Two weeks back.
It should be 2 weeks
back. So it's like on Wednesday or Monday or...
Oh.
2 weeks back.
But the guy said over there.
But if it's on a Monday or Wednesday or Friday?
It's going to be a Wednesday.
But
it was
not
a...
Yeah, that's why I was
checked
the report
here. But there is
no...
But the committee was human settlement.
You see?
The committee
was
human settlement. Around
about
7 weeks. Yeah.
So you done for the day? Where are you going? Not done for the day. Where are you going? Who's this be? Because I left it there deliberately. No, I connected it to the kid.
No, it's unconnected when I came back. Next time we try and write it in this corner, eh? Because sometimes if we can't get the document, we scan it, eh? Yes. And you made the presentation on this one? You don't have the email address? Can you write email address, please?
I don't have the email address.
Huh?
I don't have the email, I only have the hard copy. Only the hard copy.
No, the email address of the person who made the presentation.
No, I don't have it.
This
one.
You don't have it. This one. It's supposed to be.
Yes,
it didn't
say
this one.
No. Who filled
this one?
I filled it in from the list the secretary gave me.
Oh. So the secretary doesn't want you to circulate your list or what?
No, I just got her list and used her list.
Oh. You didn't circulate yours?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So what is Rashad said about this? You have to ask the secretary or you have to circulate it.
I don't want to bother the people because they're already signed in to other stuff.
But it made me, it's difficult for me because first thing I have to do, I have to request the thing electronically, you know, before I contact them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So it's better to have an, what you call an email address where I can
Yeah.
Thank you.
Hi, Angela, I see you. Bye.